Welcome in to the Football Night Lights podcast. We're your hosts, Jesse and Tyler. Today we have a jam-packed episode for you guys. We're going to be going over the 2025 football Oregon depth chart and who we think will be the starters, second teamers, third teamers. We're just going to be going position by position. I have my predictions. Tyler has his, so we'll just be kind of bouncing back and forth. And then later on, we'll be going over week one and the outcomes for week one games, mainly just the big games. We won't be talking about the smaller ones. But yeah, Tyler, so let's get us started with the depth chart. Want to start with QB?
Yeah, so at QB, first team, I have Dante Moore. I think at this point in where we're at with training camp, he's the clear front runner. They're not really talking much about like anything different as far as who's gonna helm the first team. So I have Dante Moore. Second team, I actually have Luke Moga, just because from what I've seen of him when we went to the spring game this past April, he looked very well, quick. His passing was on point. And then I just have Austin Novacet at the third team.
Okay. I do agree with you on the Dante Moore starting. I think that he just has too much talent to not start. He has a cannon of an arm. Mm-hmm. And being able to sit behind Dylan Gabriel for a year, I think that's been wonders for his development. But I also don't think it's as close as maybe, or as solidified as people may think it is. I think Austin Novacet is going to be the number two, and I think there's been a lot of smoke that Austin's made it a definite competition. He's been really consistent, and he's learned under both Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel for the past two seasons and has been in Will Stein's offense for two seasons now. So he has that leg up on Dante Moore, and this is why I think Austin's going to be the backup to Dante. But ultimately, I think when they trot out for week one, I think it's going to be Dante starting. And then Luke Moga, I do think he's going to be the third team quarterback. I agree with you that he showed a lot in the spring game with his speed, and he's just a freak athlete, and you don't see that very often from quarterbacks like his size. So I would say Luke Moga is going to be the third team. He's the most mature out of the younger group. So let's move to running back. Who you got for
RBs? Yeah, so I have Mekhi Hughes. At the first string, I just think he's the obvious replacement for Jordan James from last year. Mm-hmm. Quick, he can body a guy if he needs to. Definite clear option for that front position. I have Noah Whittington at the second team. I mean, we've seen what Noah can do on those third and longs, you know, fourth and one at the 1 yard. I mean, he can break through a tackle. He can find the open hole. Like, he can get, you know, those necessary yards in the later downs. Mm-hmm. And so I think utilizing his talent there is a great option for Oregon. And then I just have Jaden Lamar at the third team.
Okay. Yeah. I have Mekhi Hughes as the number one running back. I think he's going to get the bulk of the carries. This guy was a baller at Tulane. Rushed over 1,000 yards, I believe, past two seasons, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he's a junior. And he's related to Naeem Offord, so... Mm. They got the brother deal going on in Eugene with Mekhi Hughes and Naeem Offord. But I think being on the bigger stage, Mekhi Hughes is going to have a breakout year. And then with Noah Whittington backing him up, I'm really glad that you highlighted Noah's skill set. The year prior, 2023, he suffered a season-ending injury, and that's why Jordan James got a lot of the backup duty to Bucky Irving. So Noah was still coming off like a major leg injury, and towards the end of the season, you started to see it be divvied up between Jordan James and Noah, as Noah kind of got his
rhythm back,
his legs under him. And you also saw Noah in the passing game. I remember the Purdue game, he caught a touchdown in the end zone, heavily covered. And so I think they're going to find ways to utilize Noah in the passing game and special teams, and we can touch on that later. But I also do have Jaden Lamarr at the third team spot. He's a guy that's been in the system a while, and I watched a video of Coach Samples saying that what I look for in running backs is consistency, and Samples highlighted Lamar's consistency in practice during fall camp. So
that's good.
I would like to see them utilize more running backs this year. I think they just have such a deep room that they need to use these guys. I texted you the other day and mentioned that DeJuan Riggs, or he goes by Dink Riggs, said that he's been playing at the running back and wide receiver position. So it'll be interesting to see if he's used on like screens or jet sweeps, kind of like the Tez Johnson role that we saw last year. And you know how there's been like, so Evan Stewart is out at the wide receiver spot. We lost Jerrion Dickey. He's on suspension. So while our wide receiver room is still deep, I wonder if Oregon will kind of change their offense a little bit from going like 11 personnel to 12 or 13, having more running backs on the field rather than wide receivers. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes. So wide receivers, go ahead and talk about your wide receivers. So who you got
for the first team? The three I have out, I have DeCorian Moore, Kyler Casper, and Justice Lowe. Again, it's just I've been pretty confident since, you know, the spring game. Corey Moore is the lock for the that starting position. Now it's going to be that wide receiver one, because you have lost guys like Evan Stewart, who was going to be the wide receiver one, and then now, I mean, Jerrion Dickey. Whether Jerrion Dickey was going to be in that starting role position, we don't know. But that's kind of why I filled in Kyler Casper and Justice Lowe. Those are just the next guys that I believe talent-wise are going to have that leadership mentality to be on that starting team. Not that there's a knock on any of these other guys like on there. I just think that talent-wise, they are going to fill those leadership voids.
Okay, so DeCorian Moore, Justice Lowe, and Kyler Casper, that's your starting three?
Yes.
Okay, I have mine a little bit different. I do have DeCorian Moore starting at the slot receiver position. I guess they call it the Y. But I actually have upperclassman Malik Benson, the transfer from Florida State, starting at the X. And then Justice Lowe starting at the Z. So one of the reasons why I think Benson will be a starter come week one, I think it's just because that experience that he has at Alabama, at junior college, and at FSU. Mind you, FSU, he didn't produce a whole lot, but that's because the offense just wasn't all that great last year. So he didn't get the necessary touches, touches to show out. But he's a upperclassman. He has those reps, and I think that's going to help Dante ease into the starting role, is to have veteran leadership on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody he knows that he can rely on to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Get yards after the catch. Justice Lowe, he stepped up big time last year after Trayshawn Holden left after the Ohio State game. And then I think he stepped up when Tez was injured, if I'm not mistaken. But this guy has all the talent in the world. When he came in as a freshman, he was just talented but kind of raw. And now that he's had a couple years being developed, he's ready to take that next step. I was kind of debating whether to put Gary over Justice Lowe. Again, going back to that veteran leadership that Gary provides. And also, Gary is a great blocker. Like, he's known for having great blocking on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. So I thought about putting Gary at the starting position, but ultimately I chose Lowe over him. So, who you got on the second team?
Second team, I do have Gary Bryant. Just again, you know, that leadership and the blocking, I feel like that's going to be highly beneficial for them to have, especially when they're, you know, those third and shorts or fourth and shorts or third and longs. And, you know, those other guys just need breaks.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Last year he did come back from an injury prior year.
Mm-hmm.
And we mostly only saw him in like the special team positions.
Mm.
Just because, I mean, he didn't even come back at the very beginning of the year. It wasn't until like a few weeks in, I think it was like the Michigan State game.
Yeah.
And I mean, even just at like the special teams, he was very explosive, especially coming off it was a leg injury, right?
I believe so, yeah. Lower body injury for sure.
Yeah, so it's definitely, I feel like him at least maybe starting the season out in the second team. I mean, obviously a lot of this will probably change as the weeks go on, but I mean, for week one, I wouldn't sweat it too much. They're just playing Montana State. So just kind of playing with things. It's really not until about week four, right? Week four is...
So we have Montana State,
and then Oklahoma State,
and then Northwestern, and then Oregon State. So it's week five.
Week five is really when you gotta...
button things up.
Have things dialed in by, because you're going into Penn State. At Penn State.
Yeah.
And right now they're sitting at the rank 2 in the AP polls, so it's definitely going to be a game. And then I also have Jeremiah McClellan and Malik Benson.
Okay.
Again, having, you know, the veterans kind of be the backups to kind of, when needed, at least again to start the season, to pick up if there's any slack from these younger guys. I feel like these first few weeks, letting these younger guys kind of feel the offense, get dialed in, I mean, show their talent. And then worst case scenario, come two, 3 weeks prior to Penn State, you just fix it if need be. So having those vets kind of in that second team, I feel like will kind of help out.
I have Kyler Casper backing up Malik Benson at the X. Mm. And the only reason why I put him backing up Malik is because Kyler's kind of injury prone. And he's coming off of an injury last year. And I've heard that he's dealt with some injuries this fall camp. So
okay.
I put him behind Malik. And then, of course, Gary, I had him backing up DeCorian at the slot receiver position. And then Jeremiah McClellan backing up Justice Lowe. This guy's a borderline 5-star that we got from Ohio State because they didn't need him. I'm glad he's on our team, though. this guy should be ready to pop. He had like garbage minutes last year. I think he had maybe had one touchdown as a freshman. But this guy has all the talent in the world, and I'm excited to see what he can do. So Kyler Kasper, Gary Bryan, and Jeremiah McClellan as my backup three. And then I have two guys on third team. Who you got?
I mean, I have three slash four. Really just depends.
Okay.
Dylan Gresham, Jack Ressler, Cooper Perry. But I did slash Jurion Dickey. It really all depends on when and if he reunites with this Oregon team this year. There's no timetable as far as to when he could return. So, and if he does, I don't think Dan is going to just hand him, you know,
playing time,
especially since a lot of the fact that this is happening was just broken trust between teammates, coaches, and just
He's got to earn that back.
A lack of just showing leadership around these guys. So I definitely think if and when if he comes back, it's definitely going to be probably maybe mostly special teams or like third, fourth string reps.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. And I also put Jurion Dickey as a question mark. He's got to earn it. He's got to earn the trust of his teammates back and the coaches. I'm glad you said that Dan's not just going to hand him playing time, because that's not who Dan is. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate because, you know, quick side note on the Jurion Dickey situation. You know, it's unfortunate because he has all the talent in the world to be great. Just couldn't crack the rotation, and maybe that's why he is suspended due to altercations on or off the field. I don't know. We don't know all the details, but I hope he can come back. I wouldn't say no to having that talent on our roster, but again, he's got to earn the respect back from his teammates. So I have Cooper Perry and Dylan Gresham as the third team. I kind of wanted to put Dylan Gresham in the second team just because of what he showed at the spring game. I mean, he absolutely popped at the spring game. And then Cooper Perry, there's a lot of smoke that he's developing well. I don't see him getting any playing time unless there's a just an absurd amount of injuries to the wideout position. So I see him redshirting, but you never know. Jack Ressler, I totally forgot about him. My bad. Jack, if you're listening, sorry about that. And then also one thing I wanted to point out before we move to the tight end spot is that Junior Adams, our previous wide receivers coach, he was he's more of the 4 to 5 rotational wideout kind of coach. Like he only rotated, it was Tez, Evan Stewart, Trayshawn, and Justice Lowe last year. But Ross Douglas in his press conference said that he's not scared to rotate as many guys as needed. So he's open to playing 4, 5, 6 guys, however many is needed. And that excites me because I would really like to see the ball be spread out more.
I think maybe a lot of that has to do with just the fact, I mean, if you look at last year's receiver core, you did have, you know, Trayshawn, you had Evan Stewart, you had Tez Johnson.
Yeah.
And those guys could play, you know, an entire drive if they needed to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they just had the experience, whereas, like, this year we're kind of coming into a lot of fresh young talent. So maybe they're just not wanting to overplay them. Maybe they're learning from, you know, maybe try to keep these guys a little bit more juiced rather than gas them. I mean, it'll be interesting to see because, yeah, it's definitely going to be a little bit different, you know, seeing a lot more rotations in that wideout position.
Mm.
My guess is maybe it's just because the injuries with Evan Stewart. Maybe it's, you know, the whole situation. Now they lost Jerrion Dickey, and they're just kind of like it seems like as if it's that position where we thought was so heavy.
Yeah.
It's now dwindling quickly before the season starts. So.
So if you had to predict, do you think that the production at the wide receiver spot is going to be like heavily
utilized?
No, I just meant like, is it going to be heavily targeted? Like, is DeCorian Moore going to get the majority of the targets? Is he going to be that 1,000-yard receiver that Evan Stewart was predicted to be? Or do you think that this wideout room is going to be, you know, production by committee?
I don't necessarily think they're going to only target one guy. And I say that because everyone knows how talented this DeCorian Moore kid is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no secret. He's explosive. He's quick. He can catch in traffic. Like, he's all around the receiver you would want on your team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think every single play is going to be towards him. I do think we are going to see a lot more of the targets go towards Kenyon Sadiq.
Yeah.
Just because he's a freak of nature. He is probably going to be one of the top three tight ends by the end of the year, as long as he stays healthy. And this Oregon offense just gets the ball rolling quick. And they can just stay that dominant team that they were last year. I do not think that we won't see a lot of targets go to DeCorian's way. I definitely think they're going to utilize his talent, his speed, his aggressiveness to get to the ball. I definitely think he's probably going to fill that void where Tez was. And we saw Tez got the majority of the looks. I just think they're going to utilize, like you said earlier, like the running backs, whether it's running, passing, whatever. But I think this is going to be a tight end heavy year.
Okay. So moving on to tight ends. So you
obviously have Kenyon Sadiq at the number one,
yeah.
Jamari Johnson number two, and then I don't really think we're going to see that third string unless injuries happen. But I have Rodger at the three.
Yeah, that's how I have it. I have Kenyon, Jamari, and then Rodger. Rodger actually played as a freshman last year, sparingly, of course, but he did get injured. So if a guy's able to play early as a freshman, that's a good indicator that he's got the talent to be on the big stage. So, and then behind him, I have Vander Ploeg, the freshman, and A.J. Pugliano, who was injured last year, I believe, and still kind of battling injuries. So left tackle, who you got?
Isaiah World.
Okay.
Second team, I've got Fox Crater.
Yeah.
And then Addison Zaire.
Yep.
I'm just going to go through like
go ahead.
Left side. So, and then at guard, I have Emmanuel Pregnon, Kawika Rogers at the second team, and Lipe Mawala at the third.
Okay. I have Isaiah World starting at left tackle, Fox Crater, and Zaire Addison. Emmanuel Pregnon, transfer from USC. He's got a lot of snaps under his belt. I don't think he allowed one sack during his time at USC, so that's a definite steal. I have Dave Ayuli behind him.
Okay.
And then I kind of flexed Fox Crater at left guard as well, just in case, because I think he does have some position versatility. And then go ahead and do the center and right side.
Yeah, so center, I've got Iapani.
He goes by Poncho.
Okay, Poncho.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie Pickard at the second team, Bryce Bolton at the third.
Mm-hmm.
Right tackle, I have Alex Harkney starting, and then behind him, Trent Ferguson and Janoris Wilson. And right guard, we have Matthew Bedford, and then Dave Lulley and Utu Douglas.
Okay. I've got Poncho, Matthew Bedford, Alex Harkey, center, right guard, right tackle. I do have Charlie Pickard backing up Poncho. We did see him start last year. Mm-hmm. He is a walk-on, and I do know that once they stuck Poncho at the starting center position, it seemed like everything
clicked
and everything stabilized. But I still think he's a valuable piece to that rotation, just not starting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Bryce Bolton behind him. I actually have Dimitri Manning behind Matthew Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
Kavika Rogers backing up Alex Harkey, and then Janoris Wilson. So now we get to the defense.
Defense, yeah. Let's just kind of go for this. Let's just do our entire first team.
Yeah, and just do second team after
and
that.
And then do second team and then third team. So defensive end, obviously it's going to Mateo.
Yep.
I mean, we saw his explosiveness. He's just gotten better throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if he was not a first-round pick going into the draft next year, but he's the clear front runner for the starting defensive end position. I also have Amari Washington at nose tackle, Bear Alexander, D tackle, Tatum, Tuioti, at the Jack, Bryce Petra at the Mac, Devo Jackson Money. For the DBs, I have Jaleel Florence, Dylan Tiedemann from Purdue.
Yeah.
Kingston Lopa, Theron Johnson, and Dalen Austin.
Okay. So I didn't list Mike, Sam, and Will on the linebackers. I just did linebackers. But I have Mateo at the one end spot, Bear Alexander and Amari Washington, that's the tackles. Tatum at the other side, the other end, Bryce Betcher and Devon Jackson at the linebacker spot, and I actually have Theron Johnson, but I think he starts at the nickel spot. Just because, I don't know, for whatever reason, I tend to think that smaller corners are better suited in the inside than on the outside. And I have Jaleel Florence and Ife Ogudegwu at the other corner spot. I've heard a lot of smoke that he's absolutely bawling out in fall camp, and it's not even close. So, and I have Dylan Thinneman at the one safety spot and Aaron Flowers at the other.
Okay. My second team, behind Mateo, I've got Elijah, and then behind Amari, Terrence Green.
Okay.
Behind Bear, I've got Tion Gray. Behind Tatum, Blake Purchase.
Yep.
Behind Bryce Betcher, Jerry Mixon. Behind Devon Jackson, Braden Platt.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Jaleel, I do have Naeem Offord. May have him a little high, but I think talent-wise, he'd be able to fit in there if needed. Behind Dylan Tiedemann, I have Aaron Flowers. Behind Kingston, Peyton Woodyard. I had Ify behind Theron Johnson, and then Jaden Kennedy.
Okay. I do agree with you. Elijah Rushing is going to be backing up Mateo. I think he's the next great Oregon defensive end. So he's going to get more playing time this year. I don't know if he played or not last year. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But He's going to need to step up, backing up Mateo when Mateo needs rest. I have Aiden Breland, a borderline five-star out of modern day, backing up Bear Alexander. And then Jericho Johnson, backing up Washington. Blake Purchase on the second team. Jerry Mixon backing up Betcher. Braden Platt as well, behind Jackson. I actually have Dalen Austin backing up Theron Johnson at the two nickel spot. And then I do agree with you that Naeem Offord is just too talented to not put on the field. He's mm-hmm. a five-star for a reason. And mm-hmm. with that height and talent, you can't keep him off the field.
Yeah.
I think it was him that picked off Dante Manning at a spring practice or something like that, or maybe it was summer workouts. I'm not sure, but the kid's got the talent. He's got the height. And what Dan Lanning is looking for in a corner.
Dante Manning or Dante Moore?
Dan Lanning. Dante Moore. Yeah. He picked off Dante Moore. What did I say?
Dante Manning.
Okay. All right. Dante Moore. Excuse me. I have Sione Laulea backing up Iffy. I think this guy's just got too much height, too much speed to leave off the field. I think he's 6'4", 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Woodyard backing up Dylan, and then Kingston Lopa backing up Aaron.
For the final third team, I do have Ashton Porter behind Elijah, behind Mateo,
mm-hmm.
Just in the third team. And then just Jericho Johnson, Aiden Breland, Nasir Wyatt, Dylan Williams, Kamar Mathudi, Laulea. I don't have a third for the strong safety.
Okay.
And then I put Trey McNutt on the third string, just obviously because he's dealing with that hairline fracture.
Right.
If he decides to come back at all this season, it definitely won't be as heavily utilized as we thought he may have been this year. So I definitely have him in the third team just because of that injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dakota Fields, Solomon Davis.
Okay. I actually forgot about Ashton Porter, so I'm going to put him on my third team behind rushing. Mm-hmm. Terrence Green, Tione Gray at the defensive tackle spot, Matthew Johnson at the other edge position.
Mm-hmm.
He showed out in the spring game and did a few good things. So Tosh Lapoy's been hyping him up past couple months, so I wouldn't be surprised if he has some playing time and mop-up duty. Dylan Williams, Kamar Mathudi, backing up Jerry and Braden Platt. One of the things that Coach B. Mike, the linebackers coach, promised is that he wouldn't go in the transfer portal and what would rather develop these guys and get them ready for this starting season, and that's what he's done. He's put his faith in these young guys to step up, and so I'm excited to see these guys ball out on the field. Dorian Brew backing up Dalen Austin at the nickel spot. I don't know if he'll get any playing time this year unless there's injuries, but he's of that smaller stature that I think would fit well at the nickel spot. Brenton Finney backing up Naeem, another five-star corner that we got this past cycle. Again, has the size, the speed, the physicality that you're looking for at a corner. Dakota Fields and Jaden Kennedy, one of the guys that Chris Hampton brought over from Ole Miss, I believe,
mm-hmm.
has a lot of experience, but I think pure talent is going to take over, and that's going to put Jaden Kennedy down the depth chart, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And then Solomon Davis backing up Aaron Flowers, or Kingston Lopa, excuse me.
Gotcha. Just last quick things. I know we just went through that entire thing. I do want to just bring up, like, the special teams. I didn't do like a whole like entire depth chart for that special teams position.
Yeah,
we're just kind of like punt return, kick returner. Sure. I think Gary Bryant is going to still be utilized in that punt return position.
Yeah.
I felt like he was very successful in that last year when they were bringing him back.
Mm.
Especially without Tez, I definitely think between him and maybe DeCorian Moore, as far as like quickness as well as like just knowledge of running the field in that type of play, I mainly think we're going to see Gary Bryant in that punt return role, and then just Noah Whittington being that primary kick returner.
Yeah.
He was very successful at that slot last year.
Yep.
He had the 100-yard fumble.
Yeah.
Where everyone thought he made it in, but it turns out he dropped the ball.
Thank God for Jaden Lamar, right?
Yeah, thank God for Jaden Lamar. But again, I think he's going to be just as good this year in that position as he was last year, especially if they're going to have Mekhi Hughes at the starting running back position. It would make total sense for him just to continue that kick return. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought up Gary Bryant and then Noah and Jaden on special teams. I'm with you on punt return. I think you want those veteran guys that aren't starting to be back there. Because if you're a starter, you're already taking starting hits, tackles. You know, it's more wear and tear on your body. So yeah, to have that veteran presence back there, Noah, Gary, Jaden, they know how to secure the ball safely, get down the field. They're smart, very cerebral. Gary did it actually a lot in 2023, Bose last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as you mentioned, he came back and did that for part of the year when he was healthy. No, Gary's not the fastest guy on earth, but that's okay. He doesn't need to be. I think
he's got good ball security.
He's got good ball security. Yeah, he's a veteran. He knows what to do. So I think they're going to be set on special teams. So one question that I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Actually, two. If you had to predict who gets the most sacks, tackles, and interceptions this year?
Sacks, I'm definitely going to go with Mateo.
Okay.
I think he's going to be a problem at that defensive line.
Okay.
Tackles, I mean, I want to put Bryce Betcher in that thing because I feel like a lot, like in that conversation, just because I feel like a lot of plays are going to be kind of in the not necessarily like the backfield per se, but stopped close to the line, if not a few yards back. So I think he's going to be up there as far as tackles. I mean, Mateo maybe up there, Bear Alexander maybe up there. I definitely think he's going to be the cause of a lot of these stops.
Yep.
And then as far as like interceptions go, I mean, it really all depends on how deep balls are thrown. Mm-hmm. I want to say Dylan just because he's probably the best in that backfield.
Yeah.
But I don't want to just only say like the star players or whatever, because sure, it's really hard to kind of gauge that. I mean, it could be Dylan. It could be, I mean, any of the DBs, really. I definitely think they will see more of those opportunities rather than anybody else on the field. But as far as, like, sacks go and tackles, Bryce Betcher and Mateo are going to be the top conversation.
Yeah, I do agree that Mateo will ultimately be that guy, but I think guys are going to key in on him, and so that'll give opportunity for Tatum to grab some of those those sacks. You don't have Jordan Burch anymore. You don't have Derek Harmon, you know. So teams are going to be looking at Mateo as that best defensive line player. And he's going to get those double teams. And so that should cause some space for Tatum to pick up those sacks. I was kind of thinking Bear Alexander or Bryce at the leading tackle spot, just because I know that Bear has just an insane amount of talent. He just needs to, I don't know, unleash his potential. I think Dan and Tosh are going to get that out of him.
Yeah.
And then Bryce is just a tackle machine. He's everywhere. You know, he can get into the backfield. He can cover. He can just body a running back if needed. So I'm kind of up in the air between those two. And then interceptions, I do agree that Dylan is probably the best. But I think Jaleel Florence is going to show out this year now that he's fully healthy. He had a really good 2023 season opposite Kyrie Jackson. Had a couple of interceptions, I think one against the Huskies up in Seattle. So this guy has a lot of talent. So I'm going to go with Jaleel Florence. If I if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So be it. But oh well.
It's all fun of the game.
Yeah. So that'll probably wrap up our depth chart predictions, unless you got anything else. And did you want to talk about the week one matchups and
what our predictions are? Week zero, week one starts next Saturday. There's only one top 25 game on. It's Iowa State, Kansas State. Iowa State being ranked 22, Kansas being 17. I think this is going to be a nail biter. I don't think it's going to be a blowout one way or the other. Ultimately, I think it's going to come down to maybe a possession or two. And honestly, I'm going to go with the underdog here. I'm going to say Iowa State's going to come out on top.
I'm going to go with Kansas State just because head coaching. Prestige, Lance Leopold is a good coach. He was considered for the Washington job, I believe. Ultimately rejected it. So I'm going to take Kansas City on just that fact alone.
And then on August 28th, we have Boise State versus Boise State's ranked 25 versus unranked South Florida. I am going to go with Boise State. Do I think Boise State is going to be as great of a team as they were with Ashton Jeanty? Absolutely not. Just because Ashton Jeanty was just a freak of a running back. Losing that, I mean, their run game I don't think is going to be nearly as strong as it was.
Is it at Boise State? Does it show you?
So no. So it's not. Boise State is going to be the away team.
Yeah, I still take Boise State. The talent is probably better if you're comparing the two programs. Yeah, I'll take Boise State. I mean, yeah, you lose Ashton Jeanty, but there were times when... Now, this is a different team, you know, this year to last year, but they gave Oregon fits last year.
I mean, they finished in the top.
They were a playoff team, if I'm not mistaken.
They were, because they won their conference. They got the bye, I believe.
Yeah. So, yeah, they lose Ashton Jeanty.
Did they get a bye? I don't think they got a bye. But they were a playoff
team. They were a playoff team. Yes, that this much we know. And, yes, they lose Ashton Jeanty, but I still think they're going to be a talented team. Boise State one.
Then we also, on August 29th, we have West Illinois at ranked 12 Illinois. I have Illinois winning this one.
Yeah, it's an in-conference opponent, so.
It's definitely going to be more of a beatdown, theoretically. but Illinois is definitely going to come out on top. And then the big day, the official week one, Saturday, August 30th. Huge matchups this day. Starting off the morning, you have Texas at Ohio State. This is rank one versus rank three. Mm-hmm. First time in a long time that we've seen the number one school go up against a top five school. I mean, this high of a ranked of a top five school.
Right.
It's definitely going to be a back and forth game. It could be a defensive game. It could be an offensive game. It really just depends on which sides of the ball show up.
Yep.
This is definitely going to be the game of the day.
This is going to be the game of Arch Manning's career.
Yes, it's going to... I don't necessarily want to say solidify whether or not Texas is overrated or not, because you're going up against a juggernaut of Ohio State. But it's definitely going to be a tough game.
I think...
I want to say Ohio State is going to come out with this one.
Okay.
And I think Ohio State is going to take that number one rank after this week.
Okay. I'm going to go Texas, actually. I think they're going to play spoiler, just because I think I trust Arch Manning over whoever is going to get... They have not named a starter at Ohio State yet. Yeah, you have Jeremiah Smith and an elite group of wide receivers, but who's going to get them the ball? I don't know. I think it's going to be Julian San, but we don't know yet. I think this is going to be, again, like I said, Arch Manning's career defining moment. And Ohio State, they lost a lot on offensively.
They did, yes.
You know, Quinshon Judkins, and then Travion Henderson.
Emeka Buka,
Will Howard. They lost tackles, and they lost on the defense too. And Texas lost some pieces too. I think I just trust Arch Manning more. I don't know. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think it's
definitely going to be a nail-biter of a game. I feel like it's not going to be... I mean, if it's a...
Coin flip.
If it's not a coin flip, I would be shocked. And then Montana State at Oregon.
Montana State all the way, of course.
Obviously. Yeah, no, Oregon's going to...
They're going to steamroll.
Hopefully. We said that last year about Idaho and then Boise State, and then we came out barely winning both of those games. So I definitely think Montana State may not be necessarily... I want to say it'll be a blowout, but again... This is going to be Oregon's kind of like first week of real action. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to help them kind of solidify some rosters a little bit better as far as like where they need,
chart.
Yeah, where they need to beef up, where they need to really just dial in. Because again, come Penn State, these things need to be clicking. I mean, if it takes them 3-4 weeks, fine. But by that Penn State game, things need to be solidified. They need to be kicking down the door as soon as they get to Penn State.
So. I think, Montana State, to their credit, they were top of their FCS level.
I think they're ranked 2 in the FCS.
Yeah, right, so they're a decent squad. I think the talent will ultimately just be too much for Montana State.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see Oregon offensively showing a lot of their cards. I think it's going to be mainly a vanilla offense. You know, they're going to throw
into the groove.
They're going to throw the ball, to get some reps in with the wide receivers and tight ends. But I think it's going to mainly be a run-heavy game as not to show, you know, like you mentioned, Penn State their cards, right? You don't want to show all your cards too early. You want to have some tricks up your sleeve come these yes. big matchup games like Penn State. So I think it will be a blowout. Should be over by the third quarter, but like we learned last year, you really can't underestimate anybody.
Can't sleep on these guys.
No, you have to execute at the highest level. You have to play each game like it's, you know, Penn State or national championship, whatever.
Exactly. So. Then you got Syracuse at number 24, Tennessee. I think Tennessee is going to come out. I do think Tennessee, I mean, they lost Nico. They lost Dylan Sampson.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Sampson to the draft, Nico to
transfer
to the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think Tennessee may struggle a little bit. Ultimately, I do think they're going to come up on Syracuse. Tennessee's not a sleeper team. They're a top organization overall. I just definitely think they are going to struggle this year as far as what they were at last year.
Yeah, we don't know who's going to be the QB at Tennessee just yet. You know, Syracuse, they lost a lot on offense this past season. I think they lost Trebna, their top wide receiver, to the portal. They lost Kyle McCord to the draft. I think he's on the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't think the offense is going to be the same.
Mm.
Ultimately, I think that Tennessee is going to be the victor on this one, but they're going to need to figure some things out quick.
You also got Old Dominion at rank 20, Indiana. Indiana's going to come out on top. I mean, even if we saw, like, you know, even watching them last year, they're a tough team. They're a Big Ten rival or conference rival, whatever you want to call it. But
conference opponent, yep.
Yes. Not necessarily like a rival, because it's still going to be, you know, your Ohio State, your Washington, USC, games like that. I definitely think Indiana is going to come out on top. It's probably going to be a pancake.
Yeah, it's cupcakes. It's usually what these week one matchups are, except for Ohio State and Texas. They're usually cupcakes.
There's a couple other ones on here too.
You know.
Then you got Nevada, Penn State. Penn State being ranked 2.
Drew Aller back.
It's definitely going to be a Penn State slaughterhouse day. Penn State's going to have their way with Nevada. It's not going to be it's going to be all gas, no break. I do think, like you had mentioned about Oregon against Montana State, they are going to probably hold some things back. And we probably won't see a lot of that held back talent until that Oregon game. Just to give Oregon less to kind of prepare for.
Sure.
Not see what's coming. I will say it will be kind of interesting to see how they do without their tight end, you know, because they lost Tyler Warren to the draft. They lost Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Oregon held those guys very well. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how Penn State has adapted to losing those incredibly talented athletes.
Oh, absolutely. They still do have their two top running backs coming back, and then they got Trebna from the portal from Syracuse, and they have a couple of other good wideouts. So
it'll just be interesting to see how well Drew Aller actually is.
Yeah.
And again, it'll be really interesting to see how well Dante Moore actually is too. I mean, really, we've only seen him
spring game, backup duty.
Backup duty.
And UCLA.
And then his very, like,
up and down.
I mean, it was very, like, mid to slightly below mid at UCLA.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of that had to do with the fact that they didn't have the pieces around him at UCLA, but.
Yeah. And then you got Marshall at Georgia. Georgia's going to have a feast. It's going to be one-sided, that game. It's Georgia. It's in Georgia. Bama at Florida State. I know this is going to be one that people are going to be excited to watch. I definitely think Bama's going to have their way with Florida State. Florida State is definitely not that team that they were a couple years ago when they were kind of shut out of the playoffs.
Yep.
When they went undefeated. Unfortunate for them. I mean, the morale was kind of lost after they were basically denied after having a great season. And then last year just being a joke of a team. Yeah. I definitely think Bama's going to come away with this one.
Mm. Just curious, is this in Bama or?
It's in Florida State.
Florida State, okay. Yeah, two programs breaking in new QBs. Ty Simpson, I think, is the starter for Bama. Brock Lynn is the starter for FSU. It'd be interesting to see how Mike Norvell revamps this offense after what he thought was going to be a good offense with DJU at the helm.
Mm.
Now it's Brock Lynn's turn. I don't know much about him. I think the talent disparity is just too strong on Alabama's side. I think it's just overwhelmingly better. And Kalen DeBoer, as we saw, Kalen DeBoer and what's his name? The offensive coordinator who was the coordinator for the Seahawks last year. They know how to scheme. They know how to scheme an offense. And I think they're just going to get the ball to Ryan Williams a lot. They did lose Jam Miller, I think, their starting running back for week one.
Bama?
Yeah, Bama. And yeah. Ryan Grubb is the name of the offensive coordinator for Bama. Those two guys together, phenomenal offensive minds. So, Bama real tied.
And then we got South Dakota at Iowa State. This will be the second game for Iowa State. I definitely think they will still come out on top, being ranked 22 against unranked South Dakota. I just think Iowa State's going to have more of the talent that South Dakota does not.
Same.
Illinois State at rank 18 Oklahoma. Again, Oklahoma is going to come out victor.
John Mateer, the former Washington State quarterback, yeah, they're going to have a better offense than they did last year, I think. They got a really good running back. I think this is a show it year. They got Jaden Ott from Cal over at Oklahoma now. He's supposed to be really good. Javonte Barnes and Taylor Tatum. That's going to be a deadly backfield with John Mateer. So, yeah. Oklahoma all day. It's going to be an offensive slaughter.
And then you got Long Island at rank 15, Florida. Florida is going to come out on this one.
DJ Lagway.
Yeah. And then you got North Dakota at Kansas State. I definitely still see Kansas State winning this one, especially since I had them losing to Iowa State.
Yeah, you think they're going to have a big bounce back?
I think they're going to have a bounce back week, yes. And, I mean, they're still going to be ranked even by losing to Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
But North Dakota's unranked. I think Kansas State's just going to have their way with them. It's going to be a Kansas State game. Then you got UTSA at Texas A&M. This is definitely going to be a Texas A&M victory.
Too much talent on Texas A&M side.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if we see Texas A&M in the top 10, if not top 15, by the end of the season. I mean, they're starting out ranked 19.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like you said, just a talent-heavy team, and I think they're going to go pretty far with that. Probably the second biggest game of the day. This one's more in the afternoon. LSU at Clemson.
Okay.
I am going to go with the underdog here. I'm going to go with LSU.
Okay.
I think LSU and Clemson are going to – it's just going to be a back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Mm.
Maybe not a high-scoring game, but I definitely think – the underdog's going to come out with the upset.
I think Clemson is going to take this one. I trust Garrett Riley and Cade Klubnik to get the job done on offense. I don't know much about Garrett Nussheimer, if I mispronounce that name, sorry. But I trust Garrett Riley in that offense. They're going to have a bounce back season. I don't know. I just trust that offense more so than I do LSU. So give me the Clemson Tigers.
Okay. New Mexico at Michigan. It's at Michigan. New Mexico is not going to know what to do with themselves. Michigan's coming out with this one. AR Pine Bluff at Texas Tech. Texas Tech is going to come out with this one. Georgia State versus Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, too good, better talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a slaughter.
East Texas A&M at SMU. SMU is ranked 16. I'm just going to go with SMU. It's at SMU.
Better money.
Yeah.
Better program.
North Arizona at Arizona State. I do think Arizona State is going to come out on this one. I will say I have heard a lot of not so promising things going on in the fall camp for Arizona State. It could just be Kenny's just being Kenny.
Yeah. Could be smoke.
Could just be trying to play it off.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think Arizona State is not going to finish as high as they're ranked right now.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the season, however, I have them winning week one. Virginia Tech at South Carolina. I'm going with South Carolina. Yeah, it's SEC in South Carolina. Yeah. And then
the SEC bias is
Primetime Sunday. By the way, these are Sunday games. Primetime Sunday is going to be Notre Dame, Miami.
Oh.
I honestly want to say Notre Dame is going to come out with this one. They are the higher ranked. They are coming back for blood.
In Miami or North
Bend? It's in Miami.
Okay.
Miami doesn't have Cam Ward. However, they're still a very talented team. Mario Cristobal's done fairly well for them. Notre Dame is, again, coming off of that championship loss. They're coming back for blood. They want to show that they are still a top dog. I honestly think they're going to come out with this one.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame, Notre Dame, they're going to be ready for Miami. They're going to play spoiler, upset Mario in the first game. So, I don't know. I don't have much thought on that, but I think Notre Dame's going to take it. So,
all right, yeah, so those are where our week one predictions as well as our 2025 predictions for how Oregon's going to start off with their depth chart. I don't have anything else. If you don't got anything else.
No, I think maybe the next time that we have a podcast will maybe be after week one. I'm not sure. Kind of reviewing Oregon, their game against Montana, and then possibly doing like week one reviews. I know we're going to be watching those games together, so we'll be fully tuned in to
recapping that. The big games, you know, recapping Texas, the big Ohio games, State, Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to need like three LSU TVs Clemson. At least. Yeah. So
it's going to be definitely a very packed Saturday, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you got those few games on Sunday as well, just cause it's week one. There's no football. The NFL doesn't start for another week.
So we're going to have a lot of content to go over. This was a jam-packed episode, a little bit longer than we had probably planned, but that's okay. So we'll see you guys after week one.
Yep. Thanks for joining.
See you guys.
Peace.